Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm a little under the weather, Justin, but I'm hanging in there.
Awesome. We haven't seen each other in weeks.
Well, yeah, not really.
Just got back, quote unquote, from my Florida trip and really enjoyed the meetup. I love Mike to death, but he makes me drink too much.
Did you want to quickly give a little shout out to somebody?
Oh, Justin from Toronto? I've never been to Toronto. I would like to go. I would like to visit Canada sometime. We need to make this happen. But hey, Justin, good name. Tonight we have a case about karma. And anyone that doesn't know what karma is, it's if you do something good happens to you. If you do something bad happens to you. So what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we will be discussing the death of Dirin Dede at the hands of an individual named Marcus Karma from Missoula, Montana.
This is considered a Castle Laud type case of a homeowner defending his home and property with the use of deadly force.
Right. And Dirin Dede, of Turkish descent, a citizen of Germany.
Foreign exchange student.
Yes, he was living in Montana to go to school. He attended Big Sky High School. And he was out one night, April 27th, 2014, and he went into a garage that was open. Little did he know that the homeowner was ready for him and was armed with a shotgun and would fire that shotgun four times, hitting Dirin twice and killed him.
Most of the shot hit him in the head.
It was a gruesome death. Marcus maintained that he was defending his home.
Yeah.
He had his girlfriend, and they had a 10-month-old, so he felt he was defending his property. His home had been broken into a couple of times previously, correct?
And let's really define that. People had gone into his garage and taken things, and broken into his car and taken things. Whether there was quote-unquote forced entry, not so clear, but he had been burglarized.
So that's the summary. So let's start at the beginning then. Marcus Karma, he has his longtime girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He has a child with her, and their home had been burglarized a number of times, i.e. the garage, his vehicle,
And on the previous burglary, jar of marijuana, a bong, a wallet, and a cell phone, an iPhone, I think it was, were stolen. Everyone knows I'm kind of a pro pot guy, but pot's not legal in Montana, just so you know.
But it was still stolen from him.
It was stolen from him. Property was removed from the home.
They were not shy about letting other people know that they were pretty upset about these robberies.
Yeah.
And they were also very upset and very disappointed in their local police because they felt like the police weren't responding seriously enough to their calls for help.
Yeah, or timely enough, because the assailant's always gone once the police show up. They're never there when it's actually happening.
So what happens? The police show up and they take some statements.
Take a report, you know.
Write up reports, and then what?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, cops are there to take a report. But in this case, interestingly enough, Marcus says, we need to make sure that we lock everything up at night, seal everything up good and tight, so we don't get robbed or, you know, stolen from. And his girlfriend says, no, she actually disagrees with him and says, we should get baby monitors and motion detectors so we can find when these people come to our house and catch them in the act.
Well, it sort of makes sense, right? The police, when they show up, the criminals have run away, so there's no one to arrest.
But I would assume that his initial reaction of we need to lock everything up at night would be a normal reaction, because if I had some stuff stolen, I would make sure that my car doors are locked, my house is locked up good and tight, and just not make it easy for somebody to come and take my stuff. But his wife said they installed motion detectors in the garage, and they bought like video baby monitors and placed them in the garage so they could watch their garage. I get it. It's added security, but wouldn't you want to close your garage door?
There were people that were able to tell exactly what was going on, mm-hmm. because Karma and his girlfriend had been vocal about this. A neighbor across the street, Robin Rosenquist, said that Marcus was very disappointed with the response from law enforcement in regards to the break-ins, and she asked him if he believed that the burglars would strike again or target their house again, and his response was, oh yeah, he's coming back because we are going to bait him.
Yeah.
So you can see how they have the monitors all set up, and then they raise the garage door up because supposedly they're airing out the garage from smoking, and then his girlfriend will actually will put her purse down in the garage so that it will be visible if you go in front of the garage, correct?
And I think the purse was actually a Coach or Louis Vuitton purse. Like, it was a high-end one. At least that was said. But regardless, she left her purse out in plain view. And they turn the lights off in the garage, so it's dark, but the garage door is open. And there's multiple cars there, too. I think there's three cars, a truck and an SUV, and then a car.
Now that night, during Day Day, he was hanging out with a friend of his named Robbie. According to Robbie, Deeren didn't tell him why he was going to enter that garage. He never said what he was planning to do when he went into the garage.
And let it be said that these two kids were not the ones that had previously entered Karma's garage. These are another set of kids. So these kids are not related or connected at all. They were other students at the high school, but they did not know each other. Garage hopping, entering people's garages, seems to kind of just be a thing.
Well, that's what they said. And if you were just garage hopping looking for alcohol, it almost seemed like these kids didn't really even consider that much of a crime.
Well, if you have like an extra refrigerator out in your garage that you keep your beer or your whatever in, and the kid comes in and just grabs some because they're kids and they can't go buy alcohol. So, or steal your marijuana that you leave out in the open, whatever it is.
You know? Right. I think they were looking at it differently than they would if you went into the garage and took a chainsaw.
power washer, generator. Like, they're just taking small little objects. But the first time they were, the first kids that went in the garage weeks before, they went into the cars and stole wallet and phones out of the cars. Whereas Day Day, their statement is they were looking for alcohol and they would just go and take things like alcohol.
Deeren enters the garage, and you can see video of this because it's online. Once he enters the garage inside the home, Marcus and his girlfriend are alerted to this because of the baby monitor
and the motion sensor.
And they were watching a movie at the time, I believe. And then, well, Marcus gets up and he gets his shotgun.
Yep.
And he goes outside around to the front of the garage, correct?
I just know that he cuts off Day Day's exit. He is now standing where Day Day cannot leave the garage because he's cut off his exit. And when Marcus shoots, some of the buckshot actually enters the home. And you would expect that the buckshot would exit the garage if he's shooting at somebody in his garage. But no, he's shooting at him, and the few times he missed, that buckshot goes through the walls and back into the home. So he has cut Day Day off.
So Marcus fires 4 shots from the shotgun, and he claims he's shooting from right to left, right? As if he's tracking someone running. But at this time, it's night. It's a darkened garage. The lights aren't on.
And he says he hears metal on metal or a metal clank noise, which he assumes is either a gun or a wrench or some sort of weapon. But again, the garage is pitch black. He just knows that there's somebody in there.
Yeah, the noise he hears, he says that he has tools in his garage and that could have been the noise.
Yeah.
But he didn't know for certain. If someone's grabbing a tool and they know you're there, he's fearful that he will be attacked.
Yeah. And his first shot is said to have hit Day Day in the back. The second and third shot seem to have missed. And then his fourth shot is more strategic or aimed and hits Day Day in the head. The lights are not on, so he says he's shooting blindly, but for him to hit at least 2, if not more, of the shots on target, I would argue that he probably can see at least a silhouette of a person.
Right. He is using a shotgun, which gives you a much better chance of hitting your target. So it's possible that in order to hit him at all, you'd still have to know generally where your target is or the person is that you're shooting at. But in this case, he didn't know exactly who this guy was. And they never had these cameras up before when they were burglarized.
Well, he just assumes it's the same meddling kids that have been in there before.
They have these monitors set up, and so when Day Day enters, he can see it.
They can see him on a screen, definitely.
Day Day dies. At this point, Marcus is thinking, I was defending my home.
Yeah, and his girlfriend calls 911. That 911 dispatcher is walking her through CPR and stuff. So she's on the phone with them for a while until the cops show up. And when the officer shows up, she hangs up with the 911 operator. After the shooting, she says that Marcus ran out there, and I heard the kid say, wait, stop, pleading for his life, essentially.
She was speaking to a police officer on the scene?
Yeah, you're right. It was recorded on site by an officer.
And said, no, 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 please don't. And a recording is better than a written statement anyway.
Exactly.
The police investigate, and then what happens?
Well, they take Karma in for questioning, correct? And they interrogate him. Meanwhile, his wife his girlfriend at some point tells the neighbors, oh, you don't have to worry about those kids stealing your stuff anymore. And they say, why is that? Because we killed him. Sort of bragging.
Well, it'll send a message, right? And you're breaking into a garage, or at least walking into a garage, and according to the homeowners, you're there to steal something, and you die before you can even do that. Who else is going to want to break into a garage or enter someone else's garage or home knowing that they can be gunned down?
But at the same time, do the bad guys really go and tell all the other bad guys don't go there? Like,
it's big news, though. Yeah. And what it is this is from people that were speaking on this.
Yeah.
They never expected to be shot and killed while trying to get a little alcohol from a garage.
Or lethal force or deadly force, yeah.
But now it's happened, and this is big news.
Yeah. But this happens a lot every day, and it doesn't make the news because typically it just doesn't. And I just hate the whole mentality of, well, I'm a badass and I do something, and then they're all the bad guys are going to tell the other bad guys to stay off my block. And it's like, you actually think that all these bad guys know each other and communicate? Like, unless it's big news, this message isn't getting out there. But his girlfriend brings the neighbors into the house and starts showing them around and showing them where the buckshot from the shotgun entered the home, hit miscellaneous things in the pantry and I think the dishwasher. And they say that she's very nonchalant about it. Like, she's just giving a tour of her home. Like, here's where the buckshot hit. And then she takes them over to where the kid died, where his body was laying, and said, this is where he died. And at that point, the neighbors were like, we don't want to see that. There's something wrong here. And they didn't go into the garage where the kid was murdered.
The police, while their response to the prior burglaries wasn't what Marcus Karma wanted, they certainly have something to act on here now that Marcus has shot and killed someone who had trespassed into his garage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They end up charging him. Deliberate homicide. Or at least that's what the prosecutors end up charging him with. And not manslaughter, not second degree. This was deliberate homicide.
So this can be very confusing for some people, though. While Marcus is detained here, there are people on Facebook and throughout social media that are supporting him.
Absolutely.
Because they feel like he is acting within his rights. What law within Montana are they referencing?
Well, the general law is called the Castle Doctrine. In Montana, it is called use of force in defense of occupied structure. And how this reads is, a person is justified in the use of force or threat to use force against another when and to the extent that the person reasonably believes that the use of force is necessary to prevent or terminate the other person's unlawful entry into or attack upon occupied structure. You have to say occupied structure because that means your home or where you are. It does not pertain to a detached garage or tool shed. And this garage was attached, not a detached garage. Two, on this occupied structure law, a person justified in the use of force pursuant to subsection 1 is justified in the use of force likely to cause death or serious bodily harm only if the entry is made or attempted and that person reasonably believes that the force is necessary to prevent an assault upon the person or another in the occupied structure, or the person reasonably believes that the force is necessary to prevent the commission of forcible felony in the occupied structure. Now, forcible felony means assault, kidnapping, death, something to that effect. I don't think most homeowners are pulling out their legal handbook and doing that, but the original statement here is you can use deadly force to prevent an unlawful entry or attack, but then it qualifies with you need to reasonably believe your life is in danger. So it doesn't stop with just unlawful entry. It's unlawful entry with forcible felony. Now, a lot of gun-owning homeowners hear Castle Doctrine and say, as soon as they pass the threshold into my home, I can blow their head off. And then they justify this with, if you're coming into my home, you get what you deserve, you get what's coming to you, and I don't know what your intention is, so therefore I have to assume forcible felony or murder or something to that effect. In the case of Marcus Karma, Gary Marbut is the one that drafted the defense of an occupied structure or the Castle Doctrine law for Montana. And he goes on to expand upon that, that you have to show opportunity, which is the person or threat is within striking distance. You have to show ability, which means they're able to attack you with either a weapon or numbers or whatever. And three, they have to show intent to do this. So, for instance, if you saw an open carry guy walking down the street with a gun on his hip, well, he's within striking distance, he has the ability, but he's not showing any intent because he's just wandering down the street. In a case of somebody breaking into your home, opportunity, they're breaking in. Ability, do they have a weapon or not? What's their ability? You got to kind of define that. And their intent, that they are a actual threat. In this case, sure, Day-Day had opportunity. He was in the garage. He was within striking distance, in a sense, only because Marcus ran out there. Day-Day had not entered the home, proper home. He'd only entered the garage. Ability. Well, if you go by Marcus's statement, he said he heard metal on metal, which meant he grabbed one of the tools, which showed ability. Intent? It was a darkened garage, so you can't show intent because you have no idea what this guy's intent is, but that works both ways. You don't know if his intent is to murder you, but if somebody's breaking into your home, you assume the worst, right?
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails, feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Home, yes. Then again, this is the garage.
Yeah. And he made no attempt to come into the home proper. He was in the garage. And this happened so quickly that he probably couldn't have shown ability or intent. It was so dark and so quick that the only thing you could really show is opportunity right there.
So did they discover any weapon or tool of any kind by Deren's body?
Nope.
So the clank that he heard, who knows what that was, right? That could have been in his imagination, or he could have made it up.
Day-Day could have knocked against something. You know, if it happened, it happened, but he could have made it up. True. This goes to trial. We find out a lot of details about Marcus and his girlfriend. Marcus was in a salon, a stylist, barbershop, and bragged about how he's going to effing kill the people that come into his garage. And the stylist even said, you need to lower your voice and not use foul language in the salon. So at one side, I always take people's statements with a grain of salt, but I believe the stylist, this barber, whoever, because it was a situation where he was making a scene because he was getting so upset over this scenario that she actually had to tell him to calm down. I kind of side with that statement.
So, of course, the lawyers are there. Marcus's attorneys are arguing that he does meet the criteria for operating under Montana's quote-unquote castle doctrine.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you have the Missoula County prosecutor, Jennifer Clark, and she's trying to make it known that you can't just murder people.
And she's making it known that this was intentional and this was planned. So that puts a whole new spin on it.
Right. So in other words, there were some recent cases around that time where homeowners shot people who entered their home forcibly. In both the cases, someone broke in through a window and then was subsequently shot. One of the individuals was killed, the other one injured, and the authorities deemed both cases as justifiable shootings because the people were breaking in through a window and getting into the home.
It, hence, breaking in, breaking forcible entry, not wandering into an open garage.
It's an alarming event having someone break in through your picture window,
yeah,
and go right into your home. So those people met the criteria, and that's where the attorneys for Marcus were trying to show, hey, we feel like he met the criteria, but he didn't, according to the
prosecutor.
According to the prosecutor, because he was baiting someone to come into his home, yeah, or into his garage, I guess we should say. So they left the garage door up. His girlfriend left her purse down on the floor with what she says were identifiable items, you know, things that she could identify later if they ever showed them to her as part of a criminal case.
Yeah. And Marcus and her stayed up literally for 3 days waiting.
With the monitors on and tracking and making sure that if someone entered, they'd get an audible alert.
Yeah.
So it took 3 nights.
Yeah.
Before this happened.
I think that's telling. If you're sitting around waiting for it to happen, that means you're planning on it to happen and you're planning on responding to it.
So what hurts their case, you know, this whole time they have support. There's support in the community, not necessarily their neighbors.
No.
But there are people in the community who fully believe that he was justified. Now, in court, what hurts them, I think, is that his girlfriend changed her statements.
Yeah.
She would deny stuff that she said. And that's ridiculous because all they have to do is press play on the recording and they can hear her using her own words saying that Deren basically was pleading for his life. And then later she says, no, I don't remember that, or I don't recall saying that.
Yeah. And she says, I didn't say that, even when they play back her statement. So her statement's changed. Also, you take into account that they have witness testimony saying that they're going to bait these people. They say they've been up for 3 days. They leave their garage door open intentionally with motion sensors and baby monitor. And you have Marcus cutting off the bad guy, the assailant, whatever.
His exit.
His exit. and shooting from that point. Now, this is a pump action shotgun too. So if he shot once, okay, maybe. But the prosecutor says he shoots like three times and then he pauses and takes aim and shoots that final execution shot. But again, this is a pump action shotgun. This isn't bam, 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 bam. This is bam, chunk, bam, chunk, bam, chunk, bam. You have to pause in between each of these shots. You have time to deliberate and think about what you're doing. You can shoot them pretty fast, but this isn't semi-auto. So, four shots? Really?
Another thing that his girlfriend says is that they weren't really baiting someone because they had smoked in the garage and had left the door up for it to air out.
Mm-hmm.
Then why all the baby monitors? Why use a baby monitor to monitor the garage in that fashion if they weren't baiting someone?
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious. And then, of course, they ask her about the purse. And she has to admit to the purse and say, yes, I left it there. Because then if someone took it, then I could identify items from it or the purse itself if they were shown to me later. So they can tell she's trying to sort of backtrack on some things. And then there are other things that she feels she can't do that with. Now, I don't know what her thought processes were on that, because especially with the audio recording, how do you backtrack on that? I mean,
you don't.
It doesn't really make any sense. And I think those in court can see this. And it's very obvious that these people set out to get revenge on those who would burglarize them.
And it wasn't even the same kids that did it. Totally new set of kids. So they're not even getting revenge on the proper people as they would think they were.
Dearin Dede was a foreign exchange student. He was staying at a home with family. Some people. And so he had sort of his American, quote-unquote, parents. And then he had his own parents in Germany who had to fly in for the trial.
Yeah.
And they had originally planned to come to America, to Montana, to see Dearin. But it ended up being because of the trial, because he was killed. Yeah. For them, this was horrific because, as far as I'm aware, his...
The host family.
Yeah, the host family... They said that because of what happened with Dearin, they could never have another foreign exchange student at their house. This was just too horrific.
They felt responsible, like we weren't a good host family. We weren't keeping track of him. He got himself into trouble. It's our fault. His friend blames himself. Even the previous burglar, Martin, I think, he says that he feels guilty because of this shooting, because he stole stuff previously from the house and drove the homeowner to this point. Everyone feels guilty except, oh, that's right, Marcus and his girlfriend, not showing a lot of remorse about this.
Right. In other words, everyone that knew Dearin or had something to do with Dearin, whether directly or indirectly, aside from Marcus Karma and his girlfriend, felt horrible about what happened. Their lives were forever altered by this event. But Marcus, throughout the whole process, seems to be a guy who's almost smug. Like, hey, I did what I was supposed to do.
I took care of the problem.
Exactly. So this is where we get into what's a proper response. We already talked about what Montana's quote-unquote castle doctrine law states. And so this is the trial that lets the communities know in Montana, hey, if you had any questions about it or any preconceived notions, pay attention to what the ruling is on this, because this will let you know what you can and cannot do under this law.
Most gun owners and homeowners that own guns, they don't want to shoot people. They know that if they do feel threatened or if their life is threatened, they do have a right to defend themselves. But most of them understand the castle doctrine is, I can shoot anyone that comes into my home without threat. That's just their normal, common take on this. But it coincides with stand your ground, with self-defense, with castle doctrine. All these things coincide with each other. So you have to have a threat, forcible entry, and you have to meet these criteria. And every state has a different law, castle doctrine law. Montana's, I won't even say it's that vague, but it can be interpreted different ways. So at least the courts interpret this as pretty much premeditated murder. And they sentence Marcus to 70 years. But the public has a very divided opinion about this. Most people agree with the courts and say, yeah, what this man did was wrong, and killing over property is not justified. But a lot of other people, and I've read all their comments, say that this man did what was right, and this court sentencing is setting a precedent for the bad guys, telling them that they can come in and take whatever they want, and all you can do as a homeowner is say paper or plastic when they walk out the door, because you're not allowed to defend yourself. Yet, the previous people that stole from Marcus are being punished. They were caught. The items that were stolen were returned. Well, at least the bong was returned, but I can't say that the marijuana was returned. And why Marcus wasn't charged for possession of marijuana is kind of weird too, but I'm not going to get hung up on those details. But that's the mentality there is, it's my home and I can defend it how I want, how I choose, and I can use deadly force whenever I want. And a lot of people truly believe this, and their justification is, I have the right to defend my property regardless of whether I'm being personally threatened. And then they'll even go back to, we used to hang horse thieves. Why do we hang a horse thief? Because when you steal somebody's horse, you're literally killing that man. So if somebody's stealing my jar of marijuana or my iPhone, they're stealing my horse, and I have the right to kill them. Am I summarizing the ideal, the culture?
Right, and it's very curious because, at least so far as I'm aware, this country doesn't execute people for being a thief. Where does Marcus come off thinking, oh, well, they're breaking into my garage and stealing my bong, so they should be put to death with my shotgun?
Yeah.
When you say it, it's one of the most ridiculous things that you've ever heard. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You know, you can debate the death penalty all you want. You can say, well, this person killed 12 people or purposely ran over a child in the street and drove off. You can argue that. But this is a person who, from what we can tell, was probably just going to look for some beer and then take off.
But Marcus doesn't know what his intentions are. Marcus assumes that he's there to murder his family. Well, does Marcus really feel that way, or have we established that he had had things stolen out of his garage previously and he wanted to stop the theft of property?
He was mad as hell.
Yeah.
But who's the real danger here? Because Marcus is unloading the shotgun at Darren in the garage and buckshot's now going into the home.
Yeah.
What if that had struck his 10-month-old?
He is responsible for where his shots land.
Can we imagine that if he had struck his child accidentally, that he would have tried to pin it on Darren?
He would have.
Right. So, and this is something that's come up a lot in the news lately as well, is what's an appropriate response to certain situations?
What were we taught in our conceal and carry course?
Well, as you and I spoke earlier about this, as you said, it's best practice to just let someone take something. If you're not in danger, go ahead and call the police by all means, but don't fire 3-4 shots into them for trying to take a Blu-ray player or a bong. If you're in your home and they break into your home, if you're in danger, then you should use deadly force. But is it really worth killing someone over and having to go to court to find out if it was justified or not, just to send a message that, oh yeah, my TV stays put. Yeah. You can't touch my TV. Is that really worth going to court over? Because that's what can happen.
Or is a TV worth a human life?
Right. That's, well, now you're getting to the ethics of it. But yeah. I'm just saying, for a person who isn't thinking about that and is just thinking about right and wrong, which is what I believe a lot of these people who are defending Marcus are going off of, they're not worried about the ethics or the morality of it. They're worried about right and wrong. What he did was wrong.
Yeah.
So I can shoot him. It's that simple.
And I was very thankful to find, I subscribe to a lot of YouTube channels. Some of them are very pro-gun advocate people. And typically you can imagine what their rhetoric is towards normal things such as this. But one of them actually did a 5-minute bit on this exact case. And he was pretty disgusted by it. And he says, us responsible gun owners need to speak out when there's an irresponsible gun owner. And us responsible gun owners know that you pull the trigger to save a life. You don't pull the trigger to take a life. And he made it pretty clear that in this case, he felt that Marcus was pulling a trigger only to take a life and not to defend himself or his family.
Legally speaking, that's what the prosecutor says, Jennifer Clark. She says, if you're going to own firearms and plan on using them for your own protection, it's your responsibility to safely operate them and understand the law that allows you to do so. So you can't just go and buy the firearm and then assume what the law covers or assume what the law instructs you as far as what your rights are, when you can use it, and how. I believe that Marcus had a little bit of understanding of this law.
Well, he read the first sentence of it.
Might be as far as he got.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
right, and what read the first sentence again. This is Marcus doing a brief read on what the law is and then using that to execute Deer and Day Day.
The first sentence is, a person is justified in the use of force against another when they reasonably believe that that use of force is necessary to prevent or terminate the other person's unlawful entry or attack upon their occupied structure.
Unlawful entry. That's it right there.
He stopped reading. It's like most people stop reading after the news headline. They don't even read the article.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, passes the savings on to you, and Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices. Along with premium fabrics and finishes, how can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
Deeran's parents have said that they can't work. I mean, they said their lives are destroyed. His mother made some comments. She said, referring to karma, she said, that guy is looking at us and smiling at us like he didn't do anything. He didn't break a computer or anything. He killed a man. He took someone from our lives. I am asking people how a human can survive and continue her life without part of her heart. But I am happy because Deeran was a good boy. So while you have these people saying, oh, Marcus is justified, you have all these other people who knew Deeran who, sure, you could say, oh, he entered a garage unlawfully and was probably there to take some alcohol that didn't belong to him. But, you know, the homeowner shoots and kills him. And now we're left without this guy who, by all other counts, was a great student, a great athlete, and a good friend. So they're saying, you know, you're trying to justify the killing of somebody who was a good person. That's where these gun advocates go off the deep end, is they think that just because they have a gun, now they're justified in defending not only their lives, but their property as well. And this is just ludicrous, killing someone over a little bit of marijuana or a beer. It's something that I could never understand.
I 100% agree. I think back to when the kid walked into my house and I literally chased him out of my house through my backyard. But once he was out of my house, I wasn't pointing my gun at him anymore. I was berating him verbally, but I did not point my gun at him. I knew at that point the threat was gone. If he had stayed in my house, now it's another story. Now, I asked him to leave in my own colorful way, and he left. I mean, he was gone before I even asked him to leave, because he was gone as I was running up the stairs. Where does Day-Day have the chance to leave? Where was his warning? Where was anything? There wasn't one. I had two kids breaking into my garage repeatedly. They were forcibly entering my garage, using a screwdriver to jimmy the lock. And they'd gone in there several times. And my roommate was like, somebody's getting into our garage and stealing stuff. And I'm like, really? I didn't even know. Because I didn't know anything was missing, because I don't, you know, most of the stuff in there, I don't think about. If my garage burnt down, I probably wouldn't even know what I was missing. But he knew it was happening. And you remember I was hanging out with you the night that my roommate actually caught these two kids breaking into the garage. And he tried to grab a hold of one of them. And that kid took a swing at my roommate, and my roommate beat the crap out of him and held them until the cops came and arrested them. Turns out these two kids, one of them was 11 years old and the other one was 15 years old. But technically, they had opportunity. They had ability because they outnumbered my roommate. And they had intent because they had come back many times. So I guess my roommate should have blown both their heads off. Killed an 11 and a 15-year-old, right? Like, if that's how you want to interpret Castle Doctrine, then my roommate should have killed these two kids outright. Think about that. Let that one sink in.
Well, they did blood tests on both Deiran and Marcus. Deiran's blood test came back clean, and Marcus had marijuana in his system.
Yeah.
That's not really a surprise, but
it is to me, because I would assume that he would be a calmer, more mellow person, but apparently not. I guess just think about, you have the right to defend yourself. I absolutely agree with that. But morally, is it worth taking a life? I can't come up with the reason behind that. And as gun owners, we need to be more responsible. I happen to have seen another article about a home intrusion where an 11-year-old boy, he was home alone, and a large man forcibly entered the home and was cussing and threatening the kid. The kid pulled out a 9mm pistol, started shooting at the man. The man had grabbed a hamper full of laundry, of all things, and was running away from the kid now that the kid's shooting at him, this 11-year-old. And the man is now out of the house and is running across the front yard and gets hung up on a chain link fence. And this 11-year-old boy is still shooting. And his final 12th shot hits this man as he's hung up on the fence over a stolen hamper. Now, the guy forcibly entered the home. He threatened the kid and he had opportunity. He met all those criteria when he was in the home. But as he's fleeing away, he's no longer a threat, just like the kid that walked into my house. But this 11-year-old continued shooting and ended up hitting the man, not killing him, but struck him in the hip. They're saying this kid's a hero, and the kid did defend himself, and I would absolutely not want this kid to be victimized or murdered by this man. And I absolutely agree the kid should have shot at this man. But chasing him across your yard and continuing to fire at somebody that's running away, that's not responsible. Now, the prosecutor said I could never get a jury to charge or sentence a 11-year-old boy that was home alone defending himself. So you got some jury nullification in right there. But how responsible is it to continue firing upon somebody that is no longer a threat or somebody that was not a threat at all, such as Day Day? That's my final thought. So what's yours?
just what I said earlier, which is you have gun advocates, you have people who absolutely believe in the right to defend oneself, but it just doesn't seem like we should allow people to bait someone to come into a situation by leaving the garage door open intentionally, by leaving a purse on the floor, by setting up cameras. That's an execution. That was not a defense of a home.
And then they either leverage or use the law as a shield to protect themselves from prosecution.
Right. And this is something that we'll probably say on many more episodes as it relates to gun rights and gun advocates, but people need to call each other out when they misapply the law or they misunderstand the law or they give gun advocacy a bad name, which this absolutely does.
Yep.
Now, before we finish here, for those of you who have purchased our premium episodes or have yet to try them, or you're looking for more content from us, we hear it all the time. Do a daily show, do two shows a week, and we just can't do that. But what we can do is release an additional episode now and again. So if you're interested in additional content, our latest episode is on the Port Arthur Massacre. This occurred in 1996. It concerns spree killing, mass murder, mental health issues, gun rights, those that are in Australia or in Tasmania, in New Zealand. I'm sure you're very aware of what happened, and you know how the government of Australia reacted swiftly and deliberately. It's a very controversial situation. So head over to genypod.com and pick up our latest premium episode. Thank you for your support. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.